This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker this morning was Martin Nesbitt, who is the board chair of the Obama Foundation. Martin talked about developments in the Obama Presidential Center. In November of 2015, the Obama Presidential Center was only a concept. Today, December of 2017, the concept is beginning to take definite shape. Architects are in place, the design team is in place, blueprints are there. Diversity inclusion panels and Chicago development campaign has started. Nesbitt said that every single brick will be privately funded in the Obama Presidential Center. It will rest on 20 acres of a 543-acre park, and they will try to preserve as much of the traditions of Jackson Park and Frederick Law Olmsted as possible. The economic impact, yet to be fully analyzed, but Nesbitt says there will be 700,000 annual visitors, should provide 5,000 construction jobs, 2,500 permanent jobs, billions of dollars in economic impact on the south side of Chicago. He said that already national retailers are inquiring about taking up space in the vicinity of the Obama Presidential Center. Civic engagement will become cool, according to Michelle Obama, former President Barack Obama, and, of course, Martin Nesbitt and his engagement team on the Obama Presidential Center.
Thank you guys for having me. Jay, glad to be back. But to members of the City Club of Chicago, your leader is relentless. He never lets up. He's been pounding on me from the moment I finished my last speech here. I thought he would eventually leave me alone, but he never did. At some point, the reality that he wasn't going away sort of kicked in, and I submitted. So I'm back, and it's really wonderful to be here. But it's early. It's early. I like the noon time slot a little bit better. It gives you like 5 more hours to prepare your remarks. So my talk loses a little bit of steam at the end. It's Jay's fault. He didn't give me enough time. I think I was here last in November of 2015. The Obama Presidential Center was just a concept at that time, a lump of wet clay, as we call it, in the foundation. So it's December 2017 now, and that lump of wet clay is now beginning to take shape a little bit. If you look at it closely, one might even begin to see some real forms emerging, both literally and figuratively. Don't get excited about the screen here. I don't have a whole lot of slides. There's just a few. But they'll be interesting, I promise. A lot has gone on. We've chosen architects. We've created design teams who are crafting a vision for the physical space and working iteratively with the Obamas and other stakeholders. And we'll eventually take our vision from concepts to blueprints to groundbreaking. We announced the formation of a diversity and inclusion council intended to provide an arm's length third-party guidance council and oversight on our efforts to have a diverse vendor network helping us with all aspects of the Presidential Center. I think some of the council's members are here today. I think I saw Connie Lindsay from Northern Trust, I know I did, and Melody Spann Cooper, who are co-chairs of the council, along with Bill Von Haney. We've laid the groundwork to launch our Chicago Development Capital Campaign by introducing the early stage plans for the center to many influential members of Chicago's business and philanthropic communities. And some of them have already stepped up to support us in significant ways. In fact, large and small donors alike, not just from Chicago, but from all over the country, have begun to offer their financial support to help us realize our vision. As all of you are aware, every brick of the OPC will be privately funded, and we cannot do this without the support from every nook and cranny of the city. Some of Chicago's most iconic families have already stepped up. They get it. The Crowns, Penny Pritzker and Brian Traubert and Ken Griffin are supporting our effort. Other members of the community get it too. We've had guests come from our neighbors on the south side and all across the city, from teachers and nurses and laborers. We're going to need that support and a lot more. That's just some of what we've done so far. We've got a lot more to do, and I'm excited to tell you a little bit about everything we got going on. As I begin here, it seems like the logical place to start is the physical structure of the OPC and how it will connect to the south side. From there, we can get into the programming and what will be happening inside the center's walls. The Presidential Center will have a, it says huge here, but I think I'm going to strike that word from my, a large impact on the, a really large impact on the south side. And the center will invite the world to experience the south side's vibrancy. When I last spoke, we hadn't settled on a final site, but I know you probably are all aware by now that the center will be built in historic Jackson Park, designed by Frederick Law Olmsted. It will serve as a draw to Chicago and expose the world to the history of the South Side, its intellects, its athletes, its politicians, and artists. This part of the city is rich with aesthetic beauty as well, and the Obamas and our design team are excited about the opportunity to restore some of its luster. The Presidential Center will be located on about 20 acres. Ah, first slide. The 20 acres of the 543-acre park, which itself has played a major role in Chicago's history. You all know Jackson Park was the site of the 1893 World's Fair and Columbian Exposition, which cemented Chicago's place on the world stage. To give you an idea of the scope of that event, the tiny Museum of Science and Industry, which is, I think, 400,000 square feet of exhibition space. I see David Messina back there, who by the way, will be my double neighbor, because not only will we be next door to each other at the Museum of Science and Industry and the OPC, but we live next door to each other in Hyde Park. And I apologize, David. I fell asleep but left the dogs outside last night. They were barking to get back in. Yeah, they always go right to next to David's bedroom window. Sorry about that, dude. But it woke me up this morning. First thing I did was run to the door and say, "Oh God, I left the dogs." But anyway, the Museum of Science and Industry is 400,000 square feet of exhibition space. It was the Palace of Fine Arts in that exhibition. And that large golden statue that sits in the center of the roundabout at Richards Drive and Hayes Drive, that's a replica of the one from the World's Fair, and it's just one-third of the size of the original. But since the dismantling of the World's Fair exhibition, generations of Southsiders have enjoyed the park with its many recreational opportunities, including walking trails, golf, basketball, and, of course, plenty of space for family barbecues. Southside's well known for their family barbecues. The OPC design team will honor this history and tradition, and will hope to enhance the space's potential with our investments. We also want to respect the original vision and legacy of Frederick Law Olmsted and Cal Raval, who were the landscape architects who designed Jackson Park. In the spirit of their original vision, the landscape of the OPC is being designed to reestablish the connectivity of the park to the lagoon and Lake Michigan. The project's design includes three buildings: the museum building, a building for community space and programming, which we're calling the Forum, and a third building which might serve as a branch of the Chicago Public Library. All set around a public plaza, as you can see here. One of the buildings will be taller, will be a taller tower structure, the museum portion will be. The other two will be seamlessly woven into the park's landscape. The campus, as we are calling it, will include indoor and outdoor spaces where people can learn, create, collaborate, and fellowship. Most of the space will be accessible, free of charge, and open to the public. No need to buy a ticket. As Mrs. Obama so eloquently put it, she and the president want the OPC to be a place where people go to do stuff, not just see stuff. Except she didn't use the word stuff. The OPC will be an active and vibrant place with a basketball court, sledding hill, children's play areas, a recording studio, a test kitchen, community garden, and as the president has described, a place where people can just relax and have fun. While the campus will have a total footprint of over 20 acres, the actual OPC buildings will only have a small footprint of approximately 3.6 acres, with 1.6 of those acres being accessible parkland on the rooftops of the forum and public library buildings. The balance of the campus will be made up of landscaped grounds that will be constructed and maintained at the Obama Foundation's expense. It will include trails and gardens and places for quiet contemplation or gathering spaces for fun and socializing. So that's our initial vision. I want to talk for a minute about the public process that is helping to shape and refine these plans. We released this initial vision in May, and since then we've had seven public meetings met with individually with hundreds and hundreds of local residents. Primarily Mike Strutmanis has met with these folks, and other stakeholders. We've issued an online survey, and we've even begun a rigorous federal review process. Much of this is not required, but it's important to the President and Mrs. Obama that our team, that the community be our partner in every step of the development of the OPC. So we built time into our planning to allow for this conversation with the community to happen. We have our ideas, but we know our neighbors have their ideas too, and we want to hear them. Thanks to the input we've received during this robust process, we are refining our initial design concepts and hope to file our plan development application in early 2018. It's going to take a lot of work to incorporate this grand vision into one cohesive space, so let me tell you about the design team that's making all this happen. The group is led by the husband and wife team of Todd Williams and Billy Tien, who are supported by Chicago's own Dina Griffin, Charles Young, and Robert Larson of Interactive Design Architects. Dina is a Southsider herself, and I know she's here, and also a graduate of Kenwood High School. So Kenwood not only produces great baritones, but also fine architects. Todd Williams is originally from Detroit and began his work as an architect in New York in 1974. Billy joined his firm 3 years later. This led to that, and they ended up getting married. 1 year later, they established Todd Williams and Billy Tien Architects. And all in all, this amazing duo has been working together creatively for 40 years. And I'll tell you, with the combination of Dina and Todd and Billy, it's a great chemistry with the president and first lady. They really work well together. And Todd and Billy take their work very seriously. The firm focuses only on institutional work. They design public and cultural spaces like museums and libraries and federal projects and buildings for college campuses. The firm is deliberately small so that Todd and Billy can be intimately involved in each of their buildings. Both Todd and Billy received the 2013 National Medal of Arts from President Obama. You might have seen some of their work over the years. They were the design team behind the Barnes Foundation in Philadelphia, which Vanity Fair called soulful and self-assured and soap with light. The Logan Center of Arts, they also designed at the University of Chicago, the LaFrax Center in Prospect Park, and the Atrium at Lincoln Center, just to name a few of their projects. Also on our design team is a firm called Interactive Design Architects, led by Dina, as I mentioned. Dina is the president of the firm and past president of the Illinois chapter of the National Organization for Minority Architects. Among its significant work, Interactive Design Architects helped design the gorgeous modern wing at the Art Institute and the Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Paideia Community Academy and NRC Realty and Capital Offices. The firm's participation in our project assures that we have local expertise, native Southsider, at the table offering that local perspective we want to see through every element of the project. So thank you, Dina, for your engagement. As for the exhibits within the museum, Ralph Applebaum and Associates is leading our exhibition design team. Ralph most recently completed the exhibits for the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture, and he'll be working with several prominent local artists, including Amanda Williams, who I think is a University of Chicago Lab School graduate, right? And a great artist in her own right, and Norman Teague and Andreas Hernandez. This team has set up a really cool process working with community members to figure out how to tell the Obama story. Wouldn't you love to be a part of that? It presents a great opportunity for engagement. We can't think of anybody better to assist in telling the Obama story than other than locals. Well, who knows more? Finally, we've engaged Michael Van Balkenburg as the lead landscape designer. Michael was the landscape design architect for the Maggie Daly Park, which is that gorgeous, my office is right across the street from it. It's this gorgeous park that's just east of Millennium Park, and it's just masterfully designed. It's got beautiful public spaces. Michael participated in an exhaustive public process while designing and building that park and has helped us understand how that input informed his design and coached us a little bit on how we might use that kind of public process to optimize the outcome for our project. It's also worth noting that Michael designed the Brooklyn Bridge Park, which has invigorated the surrounding community and the waterfront, the Brooklyn waterfront, with an active, safe, diverse, and vibrant, and inviting landscape, much like we'd like to accomplish in Jackson Park. The works of this talented team of designers are, in a word, spectacular. And while they all have different strengths and disciplines, there is a thread that binds them. Each of them are in the business of creating experiences, magical experiences. That's exactly what we hope to create for the Presidential Center, a magical and inspiring experience for our visitors and local residents around the park. I also want to note, with this design team, the President and Mrs. Obama have selected, we will have a woman as the lead architect, something that no other presidential library has ever done. And with Dina, we've got an African-American female architect from Chicago as an integral part of the team. So I'm just saying. Now, I know there are some public officials here and other capitalists in the room who are thinking, but what about the jobs? Our estimates predict that the center will attract approximately 700,000 visitors per year, who may also check out local shops and dine at local restaurants. Maybe they'll get a cup of coffee at the Currency Exchange or dine at A10 or Promontory or even discover the joy of Harold's Fried Chicken. Exquisite cuisine on the south side. Maybe they'll explore other cultural opportunities too, like the Thomas Miller mosaics at the DeSabo Museum or the absolutely gorgeous restoration and art collection at the Stony Island Arts Bank, and other gems too, like the Smart Museum or the Oriental Institute or the Renaissance Society of Art, all at the University of Chicago's campus. 700,000 visitors will be transformative and provide a real shot in the arm for the local economy. South Side is open for business. Folks who have already invested there should prepare for growth, and folks who are thinking about investing there should make a move. We're starting to see action. There are national retailers and thinking about locating operating activities in the neighborhood, and companies that see the community as a rich source of talent for jobs in a tightening labor market. The OPC will directly generate new jobs too, for construction and its permanent staff. We'll use this project to create a new model for strengthening workplace diversity. We won't single-handedly provide jobs for every person in the community who wants and deserves one, but we have an opportunity to model a new approach and a more impactful way of strengthening workplace diversity. We are being driven by a few principles. We will have black and brown people from the South Side on our construction site and at our center. We will create a pipeline of talent to plug into our project, and we'll use our position to bring other employers and developers to the table so that we can put more people to work and diversify workforces beyond just our own. Lastly, we will prioritize measurable progress over platitudes. One of the problems we've seen is that people have focused on numbers rather than actual tangible progress. But this is Chicago, and sometimes the numbers are a little questionable, let's just say. So we're looking beyond just the figures and focusing more on what true progress looks like. We recently put out an RFP for the construction management of the project, and we're very deliberate about our approach here, writing the RFP to ensure that the project successfully recruits more diversity, a real diversity to the project. We've asked firms to commit to giving 50% of the subcontracts of our project to diverse firms, and we requested that competing firms demonstrate how they would go about overcoming some of the obstacles that exist in generating diversity while hiring for construction projects. Our efforts will extend beyond our own project. We hope to build a pipeline of talent not only for the OPC, but also for other projects across the city. And once we've built this diverse pipeline of talent, we want to bring others to the table to help us put these individuals to work. So if you have a project on the horizon, we want to know about it, and we want to share this diverse pipeline of talent with you. Our efforts to achieve diversity will extend just beyond construction. Our permanent staff will be diverse too, as will our professional service providers like outside counsel and third-party accounts. In fact, I see Lester McKeever here, who's been the auditor for the Obama Foundation since it was founded. Thanks, Lester, keeping us out of trouble. Now let's get to the fun part. I think the part that's got the President and First Lady really excited, our programming and the ultimate impact it'll have on the South Side, on the entire city and the country, and in fact, the world. The Obama Presidential Center will be a living, breathing place where we will inspire a culture of active citizenship and train the next generation of leaders. A place where we will convene and train leaders who may have the potential to be heads of state, or those who simply driven to improve the schools in their neighborhoods. Our programs will inspire and empower civic innovations and give young people the skills and tools they need to create change in their communities. From leaders who are already making an impact to people who are interested in becoming more involved but don't know where to start, our goal is to make our programs accessible to anyone, anywhere. Through our initiatives, we'll spotlight incredible individuals and projects around the world that are making an impact and convene those that are tackling challenges in their own communities. The center will not just tell the story of the Obamas' journey and their legacy. It will give visitors real tools to create change in their own communities. It will be based on the South Side of Chicago, but through partnerships, programs, and digital initiatives, visitors will have a chance to engage with the OPC community from anywhere in the world. Here are some principles that will guide the execution of this work. We will focus on youth. They are our future, and we believe there is upside for all of us if we invest in them. The issues will help young people tackle happen locally, all over the globe. We will give them the skills and tools they need to identify problems and create solutions. If we do it well, these same people will reduce violence, improve education, strengthen communities, and much more. We will design training experiences to explore issues, provide toolkits with the resources activists need, help change makers build relationships with people who can help them achieve their goals, and provide a spotlight for those citizens who have developed innovative ideas and solutions and need a little extra support to take their ideas to the next level. We will also speak to audiences who have been historically disengaged from civic life, those who feel like their engagement won't make a difference or is out of reach. We want to teach people that getting involved is important and can lead to true change. We want to make civic engagement cool. And Barack and Michelle are just the folks who can do it. We will leverage the Obama's capacity to convene stars from academia, sports, entertainment, and business to do so. We'll allow young people to experience how good it feels to lead a cause or inspire others. The vision for the OPC was born from the Obama's unique experiences as President and First Lady. They met young people from around the world doing amazing things to make the world a better place. The Obamas recognized the opportunity to accelerate change by bringing these young activists together. The force for good in the world is strong, but disconnected. The OPC will be the physical and virtual place where these leaders can collaborate. The space is wide open and the opportunity is vast. Chicago will be the center of the universe for the art of social change. The OPC will help solidify Chicago as a global city. Our goals are lofty. We don't have all the answers. The clay is still taking shape, and it's still wet. We are developing programs now and are going to spend the upcoming months testing and refining them. In fact, through two recent events we held in Chicago, people are beginning to get a sense of the impact this work will have. We first hosted 150 Chicagoans at our first ever training day, a program where we are teaching young people how to put civics into action, and we're doing this in cities all over the country. We partnered with local organizations like Chicago Cares, My Block, My Hood, My City, Horizons for Youth, and Year Up to connect them with young people throughout Chicago that are eager to make a difference and bring positive change to their communities. More recently, we held our first ever Obama Foundation Summit with 500 civic leaders chosen from, I think, around 20,000 applicants from across the globe, and 100 of them were from Chicago. The goal was to celebrate extraordinary examples of active citizenship from around the world and connect these leaders with one another in order to push their work forward. We also spent our time together further defining and designing the foundation's programmatic strategy will look like with the input from the summit participants. With the summit, we got our first sense of what it will feel like to have the South Side on the global stage. Prince Harry and Chance the Rapper, Common and Lin-Manuel Miranda all participated, along with the 500 most amazing leaders, young leaders in the world. I joked that if we had had the potential to invite all of our potential corporate supporters to the event, I think we would have raised all the money we needed in one day. The event was just that remarkable. The Obama Foundation is well positioned to inspire youth to recognize that they have the agency to create positive change. I'd like to share with you all a quick video that highlights some of what was heard and done at the summit, and let you see for yourselves the kind of impact we're already having on the South Side.
I don't know how he do it. He really keep it fluent. I'm trying to learn from it here at this Obama Summit.
Ordinary people in local communities can do extraordinary things when they're given a chance, when their voices are heard, when they come together, when they recognize themselves in each other. You are my co-collaborator. You are Michelle's co-collaborator in creating what ultimately the Obama Foundation will become.
Hey, Chicago! It is so good to be home. Home! Bringing the foundation here was important to us because we love this city. The other day, Prince Harry and I, we spent a little time at one of the neighborhood high schools. We went to Hyde Park. And one young man asked me a very important question, and it's profound because it says so much about this world and how neighborhoods think of themselves. This young man asked me, why? Why did you pick our neighborhood, our community, to locate the foundation? One of the things I said was that the question isn't why would we be here in Chicago on the South Side, but why not? Why not? So this concert tonight is just one piece of that investment that we want to make to our city, to our home. We love you and we know that there's much that we can do together.
I don't like being on the podium when either of them are anywhere close speaking, you know? Like, not a good. Once I was at the White House, and I actually had to follow President Obama on a presentation about this. It was, like, not good. But that's a look at what we're doing. We know it's a tall order, but it's achievable. We believe in the opportunity. We believe the opportunity is big for the South Side and for the city of Chicago. Our goals here remind me of this quote, make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood, and probably themselves will never be realized. Make big plans. Aim high and hope and work, remembering that a noble logical diagram once recorded will never die, but long after we are gone, be a living thing, asserting itself with ever-growing insistency. Those words were spoken by Daniel Burnham, an architect who had profound effect on Chicago and its development, and indeed the world. President Barack Obama's legacy has also affected millions. So let's give it a home worthy of his life's work. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
You're not leaving. Oh, you got to stick around.
Still.
Now comes the.
Still don't let you out of here.
Absolutely. We have some questions that we'd like you to address. If anyone else has a question out there that you've written down, if you just hold it up in the air, one of our staff members, I see one at the back of the room. So, Alex, if you would pick that up. We have some really good questions here, Martin.
Darn it.
Sorry about that. While we're waiting for those questions to come up here, I want to acknowledge a few people that we didn't realize were in the room. And from Exelon, Bill Von Haney. Bill, where are you? Thank you. Exelon and ComEd are two City of Clubs supporters for many years, second to none. We really appreciate that. We have several young folks here from the Urban Prep Academies, the leaders of tomorrow. Where are you folks at? Let's give them a big round of applause. And once
the
again,
red ties.
The red ties, the great Blazers.
Yes.
Size a little small. If not, I'd swipe one of those and add it to my collection. Okay. And once again, I want to thank our performer this morning, Robert Sims. Robert, thank you so much. You know, you're going to have this grand opening. You're going to need someone to do the Star Spangled Banner. I relinquish my commission. He'll do it. Excellent. Okay, so we have several questions here. The first is from Rachel Mizuno with the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Could you describe how the foundation decided on its current priorities?
Wow, that's a wide open question, huh?
We start with the easy ones.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you exactly mean by that, but obviously things are prioritized in terms of need and urgency. We have to build a building, but we don't want to wait until the building is open to have programming in place. So we're trying to move both those things forward simultaneously, building programs and a physical structure at the same time. But also, if you're referring to the nature of the program and the platform, we think this idea of civic engagement, inspiring civic engagement, is a great foundation. It creates a platform that people can empower people to pursue the things that are important to them and their neighborhoods, and it gives us great long-term flexibility. We want to pick an issue or problem that, like, curing polio, which we may one day be successful at accomplishing. We want to have the capacity to change and adapt to the environment around us as the center matures and evolves. And so having that concept of active citizen engagement, no matter what your issue is, I think is important for us and a priority. If that came close to answering that question.
It did, absolutely. This is from Aaron Connolly, City Club member with Common Cause. She's asking, will community groups and nonprofits be able to be on site to register voters and take on issues important to the community? Will the site be available as an early voter location?
We certainly would be open to it. There's going to be a lot of demand for the space. I don't see. The space will be available for lots of community groups and lots of things. I'm sure will happen there. We haven't gotten that granular on how we're going to execute, but get in line. There'll be an opportunity, I'm sure.
Aaron, 700,000 voters projected annually.
Yeah, that's probably.
You just better make sure that they live in Chicago, Cook County, et cetera, okay? This is from Elizabeth Marquardt. It's a question relating to the First Lady, Michelle. How will her passion inform the work of the foundation from Feeding America? I don't know if Elizabeth belongs to Feeding America. Some of these questions are not easy to interpret, Martin. Let me tell you.
It makes it easy to answer. It gives you flexibility.
Absolutely.
To be creative in your answer. Look, the First Lady is intimately involved in the creation of the center. So all of her passions and views, and Tina's been a part of that, will be reflected in the ultimate outcome. You know, we will not forget about her commitment to healthy food for kids, her commitment to exercise, the Let's Move program, her commitment to women and girls, not just in Chicago, but the rest of the country and around the world. None of those things will be forgotten and certainly will be a priority of the foundation as we move forward. We will not get far along without considering the things that are important to the First Lady. She's been involved with this from the start, as has been the rest of her team. So we're excited about being able to continue to help her pursue the things that are important to her.
Okay, good. This is from City Club member Amy Papernick. Outside of giving money, what's the best avenue to get involved with the Obama Foundation?
There's just one important step to take. That's call Mike Stratmanis. Mike leads our community engagement effort, is figuring out, there are a bunch of people who want to be involved, and I think sometimes that enthusiasm can be overwhelming. He's trying to figure out how to organize and mobilize folks who want to get engaged, and as he figures that out, he'll put you to work. But there are a lot of things that can be done, and a lot of ways people can help us without writing a check. We value those contributions too. But Mike is the organizer of that stuff right there. Raise your hand.
There you go, Mike. Right here. University of Illinois, man.
Here we go.
Okay. Come on. Can we just win an occasional game like once every... Okay. Hey, I'm an alum also, Mike and I. In regards to the $3.1 billion impact, over what period of time would you project that to be?
A long period of time. I'm not sure what the Robin Cohen may remember from the studies what the sort of forecast period was, but it's intended to incorporate a long-term impact, so I can't imagine it was less than 10 years. We completed a study a long time ago, so I apologize for not remembering the exact details, but I think 10 years was
the time horizon we use in the forecast.
Great. Okay.
That was easy.
That was an easy one. We'll give you a little another one that may not be quite so easy, but it's a good question. It's from Ward Miller with Preservation Chicago. He wants to know how the OPC will minimize what he feels might be the negative impact of the Olmsted-designed Jackson Park.
Well, the Jackson Park has been sort of disrupted significantly from the original vision of Olmsted. It right now has a six-lane highway that goes right through it. And so our effort will be to restore some of Olmsted's original vision. So we hope to make the park a better, more accessible place than it's been for over the last many years. There are parts of it that people don't use because it's inconvenient and inaccessible. So we hope to restore it to its glory and be very respectful of Olmsted's original vision. That's a really high priority for us, and I think when you see the designs of the center, you'll see how we're investing in preserving the park and making it a better, more accessible, more usable, user-friendly space. So that's a real commitment of ours and one of our highest priorities when it comes to the architecture and design.
Great. We have time for one last question. This is from Von Steuben High School graduate Graham Grady.
Uh-oh.
You know Graham?
Graham,
Before?
Yeah, he always asks tough questions.
I know. This one we may have to refer to Mike. What funding opportunities exist for programming, not building construction, at the OPC?
They're infinite. but, you know, so there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of interest. People believe in the Obamas. If you're talking about making social change, I think the marketplace is showing us that that people believe that there's no better set of social entrepreneurs to invest in than Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. So I mean that sincerely when I say people call all the time about wanting to invest in the Obamas so they might help them advance causes that they believe in. But what's important for the city of Chicago is it's hard to convince a Silicon Valley philanthropist to invest in bricks and mortar that are going to be in the city of Chicago and enhance the landscape of the city of Chicago. So a real priority for us is to have our philanthropic community here in Chicago and large and small donors alike to help us build this building. We need that. There'll be plenty of opportunities to help us fund programs too, but for Chicago, we really would appreciate the support in getting the physical structure out of the ground and completed.
Very good. And I know there are a number of people here who were at the summit meeting, and so if you would just stand, and we'd like to give you a round of applause for all your effort and energy in developing this. So if you're here...